Bibles and turn, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. How many of you are off tomorrow? Let me see your hands. All right. Wonderful. Isn't it great to be off tomorrow? That means I can preach a long time tonight. You say amen. As soon as I get done, if I get going for a little bit, everyone's kind of start checking their watch. Women start putting their shoes on. I know I'm in trouble then. And Genesis chapter 22. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Try to cool it down just a little bit. It seemed a little stuffy in here to me. And I don't know, maybe I just have the fire of God burning. I just really want to share this with you. I'm burdened about what I want to preach to you. I want to preach to you tonight and start a new series on biblical impossibilities. I want to preach to you tonight on the impossible test. The impossible test. And there's no doubt in my mind that in this passage, God is introducing to a man the most impossible test he's ever asked a man to go through. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham had built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Now that's the third time we heard that. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Here's without question one of the most amazing and unbelievable stories in the Bible. This has been debated by many. Some have said it cannot be, but the truth of the matter is, it is. God is clear in the Scriptures. This is a message that God wants us to learn about how powerful God really is. It's an incredible story when you think of the background. Abraham, up to this point, prior to just in these previous chapters, up to this point, we read about how Abraham was promised a child. And in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham was promised that God was going to give him a child. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, the truth of the matter is, Abraham and Sarah could not have children. She was barren at this point. And Abraham had prayed. He wanted a child, and that was his desire. And time had passed, and the time when normal childbearing years for a woman was past. Sarah was 89. Abraham was 100, and God had announced that she was going to bear a child. The name Isaac means laughter. Would be funny to have a child when you're 89, wouldn't it? Seemed impossible that God would do something like that, but God reminds us in Scripture that with God all things are possible. Now he has a child. This is the promised seed. The child probably had grown up at this point, and I really believe that Abraham and Isaac were very close. His only child at this point. The Bible said that he's his only son. The child was now probably about 25 years of age. We don't know exactly how old he was, but at this point, he was 25 years of age, and now God asked him to do an amazing thing, an astounding thing, an unthinkable. He says, I want you to take your son, I want you to give him as a sacrifice. Abraham had a conflict in his mind. What do you mean? I'm sure that Abraham didn't instantly say, okay, let's go take him. I'm tired of him anyway. He had a struggle in his mind. God tells him to do something that's unbelievable and unthinkable. You see, it conflicted with everything that Abraham thought. But I can remind you tonight that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. God tells us, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are so much higher. And Abraham thought that there's no way God would ask him to do something like this, because he began to reason in his mind, I believe. He knew that God did not condone human sacrifice. And since Isaac was the promised seed of the Messiah, how could God ask him to do such unbelievable sacrifice? How could he do that? This is the child, a miraculous child of his old age, and the future of Israel would now be compromised, and how could God ask him to do something like this? But God indeed did ask him to do it. God indeed wanted him to do something that, while it may not seem logical and proper, was certainly what God wanted him to do. I want you to look at it with me tonight, because once you realize that once Abraham meet God's conditions, the entire event in the story dramatically begins to change. And you know, I believe this tonight. I believe that God wants to do some pretty impossible things in our lives. I don't believe that this story is just something that we read about and we say, man, I don't understand that. I believe there's some practical application to this story. Some of you might be sitting here tonight and say, you know, if I could, I'd like to be able to do some pretty amazing things for God. And I just wonder if God would be willing to do some things through me. I don't know about you, but I've wanted God to do some amazing things through me. I want to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. I want to be a part of what God's about to do. And Abraham said, I want to be a part of what God's going to do. And you know, this parking lot is going to have to be a miracle of God. It's amazing how that when we begin to move forward with the parking lot, God sends in people that can help us and begins to have answers and how the things just begin to take place. It's just amazing how God does those things. There's a miracle that God does in the life of Abraham. I think the miracle is even greater than the miracle of giving him a child when he's an old man. And so tonight, I just want to share with you, just for the time that we have in the remaining part of this service, this impossible test. Because this impossible test may come to us sometime, maybe not quite in this manner, but there'll be times when God will bring things along our life to teach us some great lessons. I believe that number one, we must understand inside your bulletin there, under the impossible test, we want to fill in the blank, there's an unbelievable command. God gives him an unbelievable command, because if he's going to test Abraham in this impossible situation, he's giving him an unbelievable command. What was the command? Give your son. That's an unbelievable command. Now look, I understand what the situation is. If you have children, you can understand how difficult that must be. Being a police chaplain, I've been at scenes where people have lost their children. Without a doubt, the most difficult thing that you face as a parent, if you ever lost a child, I've been there. I've been on those scenes. I've been on those scenes where they've lost 2-month-old, a 1-year-old, 18-month-old, young children, teenagers. I've been there. I've wept with them and cried with them and helped them through it and tried to encourage them, because I can't even imagine ever losing a child ever. It's unthinkable to imagine that. But think of it this way. This command was so unbelievable that it wasn't at the hand of someone else the child would die. This was at the father's hand. It's unbelievable. And the Bible says here that's what God wanted Abraham to do. And God was going to teach Abraham a powerful lesson that not only for Abraham, but for everyone who has ever read his life, to understand that God's going to do some amazing things here. What was this command about? Well, number one, he tested his faith. The Bible said he did tempt the Lord, or did tempt Abraham. The idea of testing his faith. The word tempt means to test, in the sense to put someone through a difficulty or an adversity or a hardship, that they may prove them to see how powerful they really were. And what's interesting to note is that 3 times Abraham made himself available. Did you notice he made himself available to God? In verse number 1. In verse number 7, he made himself available to his own son. In verse number 11, the Bible said he was available to the angel. Behold, here am I. I just wonder how available we really are. I mean, if God wanted to put us through a test and God wanted to do something for us, are we available? I wonder if the reason why that we're not seeing God do more things through our life is because we're just like when God comes knocking our door, we just don't answer the door. I mean, maybe God could do something, we just let him do it, but we have a tendency to back away. Well, you know, I don't know if I can do that. You know, you're asking, that's a tall order. You mean to come back on Sunday night to church? After all, don't you know, that's my sports night. And to come on Wednesday night, man, I put in a full day. And to come back on a Wednesday night, that's big. And to go out and talk to someone about Jesus, I don't know. You see, many times we allow those things to be the hindrance to what God wants to do. But the Bible said that Abraham, and you read the, I think I put there in your notes for you, and what Hebrews 11 said, I believe that Abraham was thoroughly convinced that if he were to go, and I really believe that he thought that he was going to give his son, that there's no doubt that he was going to sacrifice his son, and he believed that if he sacrificed his son, he knew that God was big enough to raise him from the dead. Notice what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What it means is this, that Abraham was thoroughly convinced that he was going to take his son's life. But he also trusted God and believed that God was big enough to raise him from the dead. By the way, can God raise man from the dead? Absolutely. God can raise man from the dead. There's no doubt about it. And What God wants us to understand is that God was saying to Abraham, you have to believe in me in this impossible situation. You have to trust me in an impossible situation. Let me ask you this tonight. Is your faith big enough to believe God in the impossible situation? He had believed. So God tested his faith, number one. But second of all, I believe that God tested his loyalty. And this is where the rubber meets the road. God was not only testing his faith, and all of us can see that very clearly. In fact, when I'm preaching tonight, all of you can stand up and you can preach the same thing when you read this, the account. But you know what God is also testing him? His loyalty. What he was saying, in a sense, is this. He was saying, Abraham, do you love your son more than you love me? You know what God is saying to us tonight? Do you love other things more than you love me? Because if you notice here, he's very specific in what he wanted. And so he even outlined that. He wanted to identify to Abraham. And it's what he said. He used his son. He described him in three ways. He said, number one, take thy son. That's the promised seed. Number two, take thine own son. There is no other son to look to at this point. If this son's gone, that's it. And number three, whom thou lovest, the one he had deep love for. And what he was saying to him, in a sense, was this. He says, you take the nearest and dearest thing to your heart, you give it to me. That's what God was asking. And it would be easy for us to step back and say, wait a minute, what is God testing? His loyalty. Look, are you more loyal to your money than you are to God? Are you more loyal to your things than you are to God? That's what Abraham was tested about. You see, really what God wants us to realize is that his concern is that we love him more than we love things. That we love him more than we love anything else. That the love for God is totally exclusive. That we would love him supremely. And Abraham had to reckon in his own heart and mind, whom do I love more? Now this is a marvelous story, because this story not only deals with the very fact that what God, and you look into the scripture about the loyalty, but he's speaking of the fact of what this illustrates. See, I've read this story many times, and I see a picture, because the fact is that Abraham's like a picture of God the Father. And God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was a type of Isaac, who Isaac is a type of. And that son came to this earth, and he sent him, that he was willing for him to die for all of mankind. That's the gospel story. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for you? Amen. We talked about that in From the Pastor's Heart. We talked about why we love Jesus. And the key, I believe, is because he died for me. He was willing to give his life for me. And what God is describing for us is this very picture. And you might say, well, how do you see that picture? Well, I want you to notice the Bible made it very specific where he was to go. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says he was to go to the land of Moriah. Now, Moriah is a popular location for many things where God worked. I tried to get some pictures and wanted to get those to you, but I couldn't find anything that really seemed to show that was adequate for you to look at. You can Google that and search that yourself, but I couldn't find anything that I liked. But it's a place of great significance. It's there where Solomon's temple would have been built. It was a place where Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. It's a place where the threshing floor of Ornan was built. That you mentioned, that Tim mentioned, I think, a little earlier. And here was this place of sacrifice. And right now, we know the Dome of the Rock is built there, and the Muslims have built called the Dome of the Rock, their temple there. So it's a place of great spiritual significance. But we'll look in a moment and see why God told him to go to Moriah. This was a place where God had called him to go to do something for him. I can remind you of this, that sometimes God has to call you apart from your normal place to a special place where God can do some miraculous things. Now, someone had asked me one time, you know, and we've discussed this about, you know, in having a banquet. You know, we're doing our banquet March the 18th, and I'm excited because, you know, I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do in another place. Here's a symbol of that. Here's a picture of that. You know, I like having the Giving Sundays, and I know it saved a little bit of money, but I want to tell you something. God, when we get apart in a place away from the norm of what we're used to, and we're just praying, we're focusing, we're seeking God, God, many times in those special places, does some amazing things in our heart. And here we find that God's doing something very unique. God says to Abraham, I want you to do this unbelievable command. Number two, I've got to hurry. I've got a lot of cover tonight. Oh, I forgot. We're off tomorrow. It doesn't matter, does it? Right, Tim? You'll be hearing me, and that's it. Number two, there's an unyielding commitment. An unyielding commitment. If you notice in verses 3 to 5, the Bible said that he obeyed immediately. He rose, the Bible said, early in the morning. I don't know about you, but when I'm doing kind of the difficult things, my flesh wants to say, put it off till later. I might have said to God, you know, God, can I have another couple weeks with him? I mean, this is a big, tall order. Can Isaac and I just at least spend a little time together, a little extra time? No, he didn't find that. The Bible says he rose up early in the morning. And I don't think early in the morning is like the crack of noon either. I believe early in the morning is just about the daybreak. I believe he got up early in the morning, the Bible said, and he arose because there's a lesson here. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The longer that we disobey God, and how many times have people said, you know, I'll do that sometime. You're right, preacher. I know I need to join the church. Or, yeah, you're right, preacher. I know I need to get baptized. Or, you're right, preacher. I know I need to tell others about Christ. I'll get to that someday when God says, I want you to obey right away. He made preparations to do what seemingly is impossible. He got his people together. The Bible said that he obeyed immediately, but he obeyed completely. He took a 3-day journey to the exact spot where God wanted him to go. 3 days. He did not take a substitute sacrifice. He didn't kind of bring something extra and said, well, you know, maybe God will change his mind. So Isaac, you go ahead and bring one of the lambs from the flock. Let's bring it and maybe God will change his mind. No, he didn't do all that. In fact, the truth of the matter is, can I be honest with you? I don't find anywhere where Abraham tried to bargain with God. He just simply packed up his bags and he obeyed completely. And what God wants you and I to have is God wants us to have total obedience to him even when we don't understand. Too many of us, like I said, we put conditions on God. How many times have I said to God, well, God, if you do this, I'll do that. We're expert at spiritual bargaining, aren't we? Well, God, if you take care of this, I'll take care of that. God, if you do this, I'll do that. You know what God says? I'm not bargaining with you. You don't bargain with God. We obey God. How am I doing tonight? God is saying that we need to realize that there should be an unyielded commitment to him. I'm not about, you know, trying to you know, work things around God and advance myself. I'm about what God wants me to do, and I just need to do it. How many times have people said, why in the world are you and your wife, why are you guys living in California? I said, because I want to obey God. This is where God wants me. Why are you here? It's where God wants me. I just want to be in the middle of God's will. And I think we need to understand that's what Abraham was trying to do. He just wanted to be in the middle of God's will. Abraham was not only given an unbelievable command, he had an unyielding commitment, but thirdly, he had an undeniable consecration. I mean, he was totally consecrated. In this ultimate test, I believe he was asked the ultimate question. Can I bring your attention to verse number 6, please? This, by far, was the biggest test in the test. Here's what it is. Look at it, verse 6. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but look at it, please, with me. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? How many agree with me that had to be the biggest test in the test? Would you have to agree with that? Because what his son was asking him is this, Dad, what are we sacrificing? That had to have been the most difficult thing. I don't know how I could have ever been able to handle that. I mean, what was he going to say? You're it, Isaac. You're the sacrifice. What was he going to say? He had to have a relationship with God so powerful. And he had to love God so much that he was willing to give his son. And this was the test. Give it up. Let me ask you this. What do you have that God might ask you to give up? What's the nearest and dearest thing to your heart? May I be honest with you? God has every right to have anything we have. He has the right to ask for it. And Isaac asked his father that, and there's no doubt about it that here was a man, when you look at it, he was so consecrated to God that though that question came, he was prepared spiritually to be able to give a right answer. He was willing to do whatever God had asked him to do. And so the test came, Father, where's the sacrifice? Now, I don't know if, I don't know this, and I'm imagining, maybe, you know, I try to look at this, they're walking along, and he turned and asked his dad that, and I'm wondering if maybe the reason why I didn't say, well, Isaac, just to let you know, God told me you're going to be it. That Isaac wouldn't have gotten in his camel and rode off somewhere in the distance. I don't know that. But that's not what he said to him. He said, God will provide a sacrifice for himself. But in this undeniable consecration, just write down a few thoughts. He was consecrated, number one, to the will of God. He knew that he had to yield to God's will, even if it cost something. Can I be honest with you tonight? No sacrifice is ever worth anything until it costs us something. In fact, the truth matters, it's not a sacrifice until it does cost us something. It's much more easy to give out of our abundance than out of our sacrifice. And I'm not so sure, but we're so spoiled that I wonder if the reason why we don't give anything is because we have so much abundance we think we are sacrificing when we give a dollar. I was struck in the Philippines. I've used this story so many times. I don't want to overuse it, but I'm struck about how the people in the Philippines know how to give. If Americans could give, we would have thousands of missionaries all over the world like they give in the Philippines. There are people there that live literally on $4 a day. And my heart is so moved by them, and I watch them, and sometimes they will skip a meal or two or a day of eating to give money to God. $4 a day. You multiply that, that's not much that they make in a whole year. But they're willing to give. They sacrifice. And we think sometimes we sacrifice because we give up our Sunday night football to come to church. Or we have to, maybe, we can't buy our so-and-so this week, so we have to wait till next week because we had to give something to God. Or we look at the tickets and we say, well, those tickets to go to the banquet cost money, and I don't know if I can afford it. Yet we'll go down and go to a movie and spend $25, take our whole family to go. Or whatever. See, somehow we've got to understand. We need to be consecrated to God's will. I'm preaching tonight. Too many times we test our obedience to God based on our supposed results. We kind of do it like this. We said, if it makes me comfortable, God, I'll do it. But if you want me to sacrifice and become uncomfortable and have to give it up, Lord, don't ask me to do that. But Abraham knew God. He knew the power of God. He knew the fullness of God. He knew the grace of God. He said, it didn't matter. God, I just want to be totally consecrated to you. But also he was consecrated to the worship of God. He knew that whatever God requires, God provides. He knew that whatever God requires, that God knows the need. He knew whatever God requires, he accepts the sacrifice. So he wanted to worship God. Did you know something interesting in this passage? When God told Abraham, watch this carefully. Look at me, please. Just a minute. Look. When God told Abraham to go make the sacrifice. Now, maybe I've lost this somewhere. When God told Abraham to make a sacrifice, he never said anything about worship so much in that passage. He just said, go make the sacrifice. But can I tell you this? When Abraham was going to go yonder and worship, as he says, oh, the word yonder, he got that from West Virginia. That means go over there on the other side. When you give a sacrifice to God, it is an act of worship. Are you with me? In other words, I didn't find God says, I want you to go worship me. No, he says, I want you to give me a sacrifice. Then Abraham said, well, I'm going to go yonder worship God. The idea, though, then is we understand it that none of us really ever worship God until, first of all, we're willing to make a sacrifice. You follow me? In other words, if you've never sacrificed to God, you've really never totally worshiped God. If you've never been put in inconvenience or maybe given a little extra or maybe, you know, start you tithe and then you give an offering and you give something to the parking lot or the building fund or whatever, until you've been willing to be uncomfortable and make a sacrifice, you haven't worshiped yet. If a person comes to church, you know, coming to church is an exercise of going to church. But giving is a worship. Amen. Boy, it's getting real quiet. I knew that hit some nerves now. Because the truth of the matter is, tonight we need to realize that worship is not you're sitting there watching the pastor and the deacons and the choir. But if we engaged in worship, it involves us giving a sacrifice. And that's what Abraham did. He gave this sacrifice because it had undeniable consecration. He never thought once about not doing what God wanted him to do. So Abraham now comes along and he's been given a very impossible test, no doubt about it. God put him in gave him an unbelievable command. He had an unyielding commitment, undeniable consecration. And then in verses 9 to 14, God gave him an unexpected call. God called him. In verses 9 and 10, we find him totally submitted. Now, at this point, Isaac and his family, his son primarily, were there before God. He took Isaac, his son, and he tied him, the Bible says, down to the rock. Now, some of you may wonder, why would he do that? Why would he tie him down? Because the normal reaction is, if you're going to hit someone in the head, what's the normal reaction? They're ducking, right? You're going to take a knife and you want to Even in the middle of all this, you're going to lift the knife. The first reaction is they're going to flinch. But what we find here is that Abraham was totally submitted to God. And I believe at this point, he said to Isaac, I want you on the rock. I want you to get on the rock. And he strapped him down. Abraham followed completely what God asked him to do. And something I found with God is, have you ever noticed this? That many times God is slow in his delivery, but God is right on time every time. Abraham passed the test. He had prepared. He did what God wanted to do. And I thoroughly believe that he thought at this point, okay, you're going to die. We'll just see if God can raise you from there. We believe that God can. And you're going to die. And he lifted the knife, ready to do it. He went all the way to the end. What God wants all of us to do is be willing to sacrifice completely to his will. I don't think that Abraham thought God's going to send somebody to deliver. He was totally submitted to God. How about you tonight? What if God were to ask you to sell your bicycle and give that money to church, to the banquet? What if God were to ask you to sell your car and do that? What if God were to ask you to give something that's very near and dear to you to do that? What if God were to just ask you that you would give any of your bonuses off your paycheck to the banquet? What if God were to ask you to give your tax return? I'm not telling you to do that. That's not what I'm saying. Look, I don't believe that anybody should do anything that I tell them to do. I believe we ought to do what God tells us to do. But what if God were to ask you to do that? How committed would you be? How willing would you be willing to do that? You say, well, man, that's a tall order. Think about giving your only son and killing him. Impossible test. The Bible said in verses 11 to 14, he was totally righteous. God provided him by sending a ram. The Bible says, caught in a thicket. Now the ram, what is really interesting is that the ram is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist was on earth, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the ultimate lamb sacrifice. And this points to Jesus Christ that's going to come. How does that work? Well, if you were to go today to Israel and you were to traverse up to the top of the mountain and go on the top and get out and look at on Mount Moriah, and you were to go out and walk around and look all around over Mount Moriah, you would look off and you would see Golgotha in the distance, in the very close distance. Golgotha, of course, is where Jesus Christ was crucified. It's Mount Calvary. And so the idea then is, I believe what God is saying is that about the time that he was ready to lift the knife and slay his son, the Bible said the angel called him. Good thing he was available, right? Behold, here am I. And he turned around and looked, and he saw the ram caught in a thicket. And as he grabbed the ram, he looked off in the distance in the background and he saw Mount Calvary. God showed him and gave him a vision of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sin of the whole world. What is God teaching us? Here's the point. God wants us to know that when he calls us to do something that seems impossible, that God will take care of his people. Can I tell you this? There is no sacrifice that we ever give to God that he did not first already provide it to begin with. How am I doing? Abraham waited 100 years until God gave him a son, and now Abraham's 125 years old. There's no way in which he had that son until God gave it to him. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. There's nothing that God would ever ask us to sacrifice that did not God already give to us first. And in this impossible test, God stepped in. Once he saw the total submission, God delivered and delivered Isaac and changed the entire circumstances of the story like that. God can do that. I close with this. Several years ago, we had started a church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Before God called us to come to California, when we were up in Woodland, and this was, I mean, many, many years ago. Now, I remember it was kind of funny because we had left the church, and there was sort of an interim type pastor there, and someone had come in and helped them, and they were in the middle of this, they were in the storefront. We didn't quite get the building. We were looking at some buildings, but we were in a storefront. It's really a nice storefront. Now, I remember that they were there looking, and they had the resources, they had the finances, and the bank was going to help them out and work with them. And this was back in the days when banks worked with churches and they could do that, and things were just, you know, kind of was, it was really a kind of a unique situation that God could do that. And there was a church in town that had a building they wanted moved from a property, and the church there had already had a property available for them. So it was like this: here's our land, here's the building, and here's a building, and the church wanted it moved, and the church was willing to pay. And guess how much they were going to sell the entire church building to our church there? $1. All you had to do was move it. The bank said, you go to movers, because they were working with both churches, you go to movers, you move it to the property, and you can locate it down there. We'll help you out. You just write the checks. We'll cover all the checks. We'll settle up with you. We'll make sure, and they, that way. So everything was all copacetic. Everything was good to go. The church gathered on, I don't know what night it was. Always let our people do business on Wednesday. I think Sunday's the Lord's day. I believe the church met, and they all voted. And all they had to do was just trust God and believe that God, because, I mean, everything was in place. All that they had to do was just trust God and believe God. And the church voted it down. I don't know why. If I'd have been there, I'd led them to do it. But they turned their back on it. Said no. It wasn't long after that that the church started struggling and kind of began to kind of fall apart. Because you know why? I do believe this. I don't believe they took the step that God had led them to take. And it hurt the church. And you know, I believe this is also true. If there comes a time in our life when God speaks to us and we don't take the step, even when it seems impossible, it's going to hurt us spiritually. And I believe what God does is that God will bring us right back to the same place where we stopped. And that's what took place. And by the way, God gave us Jesus Christ, which was the impossible, to die for our sins because we couldn't save ourselves. And Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for our sins, and he was crucified and he was buried. He rose again the third day, and he fulfilled that which is impossible, because we have a God that's impossible. Man can't be saved on his own. We need a Savior, the Lord Jesus. The ram is the sacrifice. He's it. What about you? Are you holding something back? Is there something that God might be speaking to your heart about tonight? Well, look, I'm not trying to get into your personal affairs. At least not in that way. I want to help you spiritually. But I do believe this, that whatever God requests and God asks, God orders. I'm glad tonight we have a story like Abraham in the Bible. God calls, he accepts, and God shows. Are we willing to obey? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is an impossible situation. none of us could ever begin to imagine how impossible it really is. Oh, Father, tonight, if we're here without Jesus Christ, we're in an impossible situation. And we need the miracle of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for that one tonight that might be here without Christ. Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, speak to them even now. Lord, I pray for that one tonight that might be here that perhaps they're put in a right into a very difficult spot personally. Lord, maybe their life they're just struggling, and it's hard when we struggle with our faith. But Lord, I pray that we'd be as Abraham and step out by faith and trust God. We would do what you ask us to do. Now, while our heads are bowed tonight, I wonder if there's one in the room here would say, you know, as you're preaching, God spoke to my heart, I want you to pray for me that I'll have the courage to step out by faith and do what God says. Whatever God says, I'll do it. I wonder if there's someone tonight would say, God spoke to me, preacher. Please pray for me. May I see your hand? All right. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Thank you. May you put your hands down. Second question is this. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you've never been saved. God's spoken to you tonight. You'd say, you know, I need Christ. Pray for me. Is there someone like that tonight? Would you allow me the privilege to pray for you? I don't know. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Could I pray for you? Would you allow me to? Anyone? All right. Can we stand on our feet very quietly where our heads are bowed? Heavenly Father,